Bibles and turn to Matthew 16. Again, thank you for being here today on the Lord's Day, and trust again that as we come together, the Lord would encourage us through His Word today. Matthew 16. We're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 4 in just a few minutes, as we left off last Sunday in January. But I want to start out here in Matthew 16 this morning as we're focusing on the church and the believer, and our walk as a believer, how we're to walk worthy of the vocation which we are called. As a Christian, we're to walk worthy. We find here, as we talked last time we met from Ephesians, about how the Lord Himself has gifted everybody in a particular way, and to enable His church to be what it is today. But I want us to notice in Matthew 16, beginning with verse number 13, read 4 or 5 verses, and we'll have prayer, and we'll go back to Ephesians. But in Matthew 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I like those words. When Jesus Himself says, "I will build my church," those are strong words, folks. Those are strong words. Now, thank God today for the knowledge to realize that Jesus Christ is building His church. He is building His church. He's doing it through His people, His people. Let's pray. Father, thank You today for the opportunity to come to church. We thank You for these that have assembled together now. And Lord, as we come together, Lord, we come, Lord, asking You, Lord, to lead and guide, Lord, in all that we say and all that we do. God, I pray that Your people today would be encouraged. Lord, would be strengthened today from Your Word. I pray, God, if there's one here that's not saved, I pray they might see their need, Lord, even today, to call upon You, Lord, and ask You to forgive them of their sins and come into their heart. We thank You for this time we have together. Again, we thank You, Lord, for everyone that's here. We do pray for those that are sick, not able to be with us, but offers relatives, I pray for them. Lord, the need there, Lord, others in our church, Lord, that are hurting physically. And Lord, I just pray for their needs. Now I pray, God, again, give us what we need today. Would You please lead us and guide us? May the Spirit of God be our teacher as we read and study Your Word together now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now turn over to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. We see here in Matthew, first of all, how Jesus says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, we've been studying, again, in Ephesians chapter 4, going through it. We talked about the ministry of gifts, how Christ gave gifts to every individual. If you're a believer today, Christ has given you a specific gift that you can do, something you can do for the Lord. I'm glad He has ministered that to us. He had the ability to do that. And now today, as we look again at these gifts, we're going to look here in verse number 11. Verse number 11 is where we are, Ephesians 4:11. I want us to read this verse, and then we're going to start with a lesson here today. Ephesians 4:11, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Now, we find here that He's speaking about the church. He gave the church these gifts, these gifts. Notice here, Christ gives to the church. Verse 11 says, "And He gave." And He gave. In other words, Jesus Christ gave to the church these gifts, these people, if you please, with various abilities and capabilities to function in the church and do what he wanted done. We see every believer, his gift is Christ-centered. It's Christ-centered because it's from him. He gave it to us, you see. We see here also that Jesus Christ, the provisions made by him for the welfare of his church. I'm so glad that not only did Jesus save us and give us abundant life, eternal life, but also he has given the church who we are as a body. He's given us the provisions that we need in this church to function as a church. We will look back on the day of Pentecost, what happened there. We see here, as we look at these gifts that Jesus Christ provided for them to enhance them in the ministry, and the church would grow there and be what he wanted it to be. See, Jesus Christ is not only concerned about us being saved, but he's concerned about us as a body of the church to function to bring honor and glory to him. You see, his church, he wants his church to grow, and his church will grow. It's going to be what he wants it to be. So we find here that his provisions here shows here his desire to honor, for his church to be honored, and also for his grace to be manifested to a world that needs to be saved. They can see God's love in God, in his church. We also see his provision here. He wants to make the church glorious. He wants to make it complete, the Lord Jesus does. That's why he gave these gifts. That's why he gave these individuals to the church, to help the church be complete, to help it be glorious as one body. He is the head over the church. He's the head of the church. Jesus Christ is. We also see he gives these provisions also as one vessel. One vessel as a church that he might fill the church. Fill the church with his power, his knowledge, and that church might grow. I said before that God is creating a body. A body, just one body. God is creating a body of people that will love him and follow him. One body. That's called the church. That's called the church. Now, today we hear the word church a lot. We see a lot of all kinds of churches. But the tragedy is a lot of those churches are not Christ-centered. They're not his church. They're man's church. And that's sad. But we see here that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving out gifts now to his church. Again, to help the church to be what he wants it to be. That he might manifest himself through the church, that he also here might help the church to grow, and he might fill it with all his power, all his power. I'm glad that Jesus Christ wants his church to be a growing organization, organism, so to speak, and that it might prosper and bring glory to him. Now, let's notice the gifts in verse 11. Verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles. Now, we're reviewing a little bit here from the last time we met, but he gave some apostles. Some apostles. Some men were called apostles. This is a special office at the beginning of the church, a special office that was given by God. Now, these were men that had extraordinary power. They had power to teach. They had power as far as administration is concerned. And God gave them this power to be this way. By the way, whatever you can do today, did you know that God gave you that ability? It doesn't matter what it is. God gave you that ability to do what you can do today. God gave these men these special gifts, the special gift to do this. See, now notice we said there was qualifications for a person to be an apostle. Not everybody can be an apostle. There were qualifications for this position as an apostle. This man has to be directed directly, I get it right here in the man, chosen by God. He was chosen by God. And this individual also had to have seen or been acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to see him or be acquainted with him somehow. Also, this man also had to be an eyewitness of the resurrection of Christ. He had to see Jesus Christ on this earth after his resurrection in order to be qualified as an apostle. And of course, Jesus Christ, again, named these men. He's picked these men here. It's like today. Even the Lord's service today, as a servant of Christ today, from this generation we live in, we must see the Lord, first of all, and we see Him how? We don't see Him physically. How do we see Him? By what? By faith. We see the Lord by faith, and also we know Him intimately because He lives within us. This is the only true servant of God. It's someone that has knows the Lord intimately. And so this is true even today. Someone said that neither is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. And that is true. These apostles were not greater than the one that sent him, the Lord Jesus Christ. But they were specific men that Jesus Christ called out to be, if you please, men or representatives of him here on this earth, and to do what they did. Again, they administrated and they taught the Word of God. They were specially called men. They were the apostles that we know of. We know Jesus Christ himself is called an apostle. He was called an apostle and a high priest of our profession in Hebrews chapter 13. The Bible tells us that. We see also that this age, the age of the apostles, they went from Pentecost, their Pentecost, until the last one, who was John, was martyred. This was the period of the apostles. After John died, that was it. No more apostles. By the way, there's no apostles today. No apostles today on this earth. We hear somebody say they are, but truly and generally, they're not apostles. Because it's over with after this period of time. But so we see here the gift that Jesus Christ gave to the church was an apostle. A representative, if you please, to send out. It means to send out a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is who these men were. We notice another gift here it talks about in verse 11. Not only apostles, but some prophets. Prophets. We see that this is another gift. This is a spokesman for God. And again, this is a temporary position, a temporary gift. There are no prophets today on this earth. See, someone said the apostles planted and the prophets watered. You know, that's the way it is in soul winning, isn't it? When you go out visiting, we may go out and we may sow the seed. Somebody may come behind us and water it. Somebody may have already been there and sown the seed, and we go by and water it. You know, this is our task. This was what they did. That is the prophets here. They had the gift of speaking the Word of God by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. God gave them special power to be able to speak the Word of God. And that is the prophets, you see. It included even predictions of things that's going to happen. Look at Isaiah, Jeremiah, all these prophets in the Old Testament. They had special gifts also, you see, to predict the things in the future. God gave them that knowledge. So we see here that the gift of a prophet was also given out here for his church in the earliest time of the church here to help the church to grow. We also see that a prophet is one who is divinely inspired and communicates with God his will for the people. His will for the people. In other words, he tells the people what God's will is for their life. I'm glad for that. Their commission was to show the people also their sins. The prophets were to show the people their sins as they went out from day to day, where they went. They were like pastors. They were monitors of the people, trying to help the people to stay and be what they ought to be, live the life they ought to live, you know. And this was their job, their calling, so to speak. They were to admonish. They were to reprove people. They were also to tell them about their sins, make their sins obvious to them, and help them and call them literally to repent of their sins. And this was the job they had to go out and do. I'm grateful for this even today, that we have our pastors and men of God today that would help us in our lives. But they were also like watchmen upon a wall there in Zion. They blew the trumpet when warning, when trouble was coming. That's what prophets did. They allowed the people to know, hey, something's coming, and you better be aware of it. Wake up. Don't be asleep, you see. They were ambassadors from Christ, from God. And they were there warning them to turn from their evil ways and live right. This was their job. You know, I'm thankful today. We don't have prophets, but we have men of God to do that. I remember when I was growing up, as a teenager in church, the pastor in the church that my mom dad was going to, I don't know, his name was Woodall. Linwood Woodall, I believe was his name. And I know his last name, Woodall. But, you know, he was a great preacher. I enjoyed him preaching. I really did. And I remember one Sunday between Sunday school and church, for some reason he approached me. He said, "I want you to notice I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you." Amen. You know? Man, I look back after that years following that, and I said, you know, I appreciate him saying that to me. You know, it encouraged me to know that I wasn't even saved at that time. And when I did get saved, he wasn't there at that church when I got saved, but whenever he found out about it, he sent me a card and said, "I've been praying for you a long time that you'd get saved." You see? But this man was concerned about me. Listen, your pastors and your teachers are concerned about you. Do you know that? They're concerned about you, your life that you live, how you ought to live for Christ, and how we ought to all live for Christ and encourage one another. But these prophets here, they had this task that Jesus Christ gave them. They were providing for the church what the church needed. That was men that not only were say there were something, they lived the life before the people. And they recognized them as God's men. You see, the prophets or even the apostles, and that they were helping them in their lives as Christians, whether they realized it or not. So we talked about now the gift of the apostles and also the prophets. And notice also it says some evangelists. You know, evangelists are unique people. Unique people. They kind of bridge the gap between the apostles and the prophets and the teachers and the preachers. They come kind of between this. You know, it's kind of like putting a sandwich together. You've got to have some meat, you know, in the middle here. And here these evangelists are, you see, they're the kind of people that really stir the people. Stir the people when they come. You know, we like evangelists to come by here and preach to us. But these evangelists here, they brought the gospel. Just like evangelists do today. They bring the gospel, and it was a message of pardon. They wanted the people to get saved, you see? And so God used them in this particular way. Their message was to everybody, really, but especially to those that were unlearned, especially to those that were careless in their life, and those even that were inquiring about life and things in their life. The message of the evangelist was for them. It was down to earth, so to speak. It wasn't, you know, it was just simple messages. These evangelists, they proclaimed the mercy and grace of God. They proclaimed the mercy and the grace of God to those that wanted to hear it and wanted to understand it. You see, they were sent forth like a missionary. They were sent forth like a missionary preacher of the gospel. That's who evangelists are. They go from place to place, from church to church. I think of Brother Marvin West. All of y'all know him. He's an evangelist, a tremendous speaker. God's got his touch upon that young man. I will believe that with all my heart. He goes wherever God leads him. You know, the door's open. And he preaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. He's preparing the way. See, evangelists help the pastors, you see. It's a work that's togetherness. We all work together. The evangelists did. They worked with the apostles and the prophets to enhance also the teachers and the preachers, you know, during the beginning of the church age, you see. But they stand between the apostles and prophets and the teachers and the pastors. The evangelists did. And their job was simply just to preach the gospel, get people saved, you know, and encourage people in the Lord and try to get them on the right track, you see. And prepare the way, again, for the pastors and for the teachers that were later also in this occasion here of the early church. So we talked about now the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists. And now also we're going to look here, it says, and some pastors. and some pastors. Oh, thank God for a pastor, amen?
Amen.
Thank God for a man that'll stand and teach and preach the Word of God to us. We need it, folks. We need it. We need this book now, today, as Ty was talking about, more than ever before. If we look at this book, we'll see what's unfolding in this world today. How the Lord is soon coming, I believe with all my heart. I believe He could come even today before we get out of church. But thank God for the pastors. The pastors represent the administrative side. They're taking care of the people. That's their job here in this time, during this church age, you see. But Jesus told Peter to shepherd His sheep. Jesus told Peter. Peter told the ministers also to shepherd the flock of God. Shepherd the flock of God. Watch over them. Watch over. That's what a shepherd does. He watches over the flock. And that's what their job is, you see. We see Paul told the elders of Ephesus, here in the book of Ephesians, the church of God for which He had died for, to shepherd them also, because Christ died for these people, you see. Now, the pastor today is the under-shepherd. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd, and the pastor is the under-shepherd, you see. Under-shepherd to the chief shepherd, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, what does a shepherd do? What does a shepherd do? Whenever you think about a shepherd and with sheep, what do they do? We see here the shepherd, first of all, knows the sheep. The shepherd knows the sheep. Brother Tower's got some animals, a lot of animals. He knows them. He knows them like he knows his family members, you know. He knows a lot about them, how they respond. He probably got some of them named, I don't know. But I mean, most people do that have animals name them, you see. But they know their shepherd. The sheep know the shepherd. The shepherd knows the sheep. The shepherd feeds the sheep. That's the pastor. The pastor feeds us. He feeds us Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. What does he feed us? The Word of God. Our spiritual food that we need. Thank God for the food that's given out here. I trust we're all taking it in, you know, and growing because we're taking the Word of God in that the shepherd gives to us every time we come to church. We also, the shepherd guides the sheep. He keeps them away from rough places. He keeps them on the green pastures, you know. He guides us through the Word of God, the pastor, the shepherd does. We also see that the shepherd seeks and saves the sheep who may wander astray, who may get out here and get lost somewhere. He seeks that sheep and goes and gets it and brings it back and restores it. That's the job of the shepherd, you see. He protects the sheep. He may tell you something sometimes that you don't want to hear. He may tell me something sometimes I don't want to hear. But He's trying to protect us. He's trying to protect us and keep us out of harm's way. He restores the sheep that may go astray when they return. He restores them, takes them up like a mother with a child, and nurture them, and love them, and help them. He also rewards them, the sheep that are faithful, that are faithful. He rewards them, the shepherd does, the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. He keeps the sheep separated from the goats. He keeps the sheep separated from the goats. You know, that's very important. That's very important today. So we see the gift of a pastor. Again, I say thank God for a pastor. Thank God for someone that helps us and watches over us as a body of believers. He watches over us. And we need to pray, again, for our pastor. God will give him wisdom. God will give him insight, you see, in some things of our life. You know, I'm not a pastor. I'm not sure God will ever call me to be or not. But I know my pastor. He knows a lot about us that we don't think he knows. Do you know that? He knows a lot about us because God gives him discernment. He gives him discernment. And therefore, he knows when we're troubled. You see, he knows there's something on our mind, on our heart that's bothering us. He knows that. You see, just like we as Christians sometimes, we can detect it from other Christians too. When people are hurting, when people have needs, you see, in their lives. And therefore, you know, God helps us to love one another by communicating one with another you see, and encouraging one another. Now, also, we see also last year here on this list was the gift of a teacher. And teachers represent the teaching side. That is the presentation of truth of the Word of God. Teaching is very, very important. It's very, very important. It's to instruct believers in the truth of God's Word. Teachers instruct believers in the truth of God's Word. Now, the teacher is to root the people also and ground them in the Word of God. They might know what the Bible says. Listen, folks. It's very important for you and I to know what the Bible teaches. Very important. I'm amazed today at the people that go to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and don't know what the Bible teaches. They don't know it. They have no conception whatsoever of the Bible, what it teaches us. I pray today that we as a church, not only do we bring our Bibles and we read our Bibles together, when we go home, we'll read our Bibles and study our Bibles also. If the only Bible I get, the only Bible you get, is what we hear from the teacher and from the preacher, we're going to be very shallow. We're going to be very shallow. We won't know what this book says. Because listen, if you're a born-again child of God, you have a teacher in you to enable you and instruct you the Word of God, that is the Holy Spirit. He's the only teacher you need, really. But you need to be encouraged by other also men of God that teach the Bible to you. Yes, teaching is one of the greatest callings. It is, to be able to teach the Word of God. But also, teaching bears the greatest responsibility. The greatest responsibility also. Because we are accountable for what we teach. Every word that we say, we are accountable for it, you see. And we have to be careful, as Pastor says many times, that we teach the truth. That is, we teach the Word of God. And nothing else. And nothing else. So it's very important that this. See, there's a big responsibility given by God to the teacher. To the teacher. Yet, if God has called you, if God's given you that gift to teach, God will enable you to teach the truth. He will enable you if you ask Him to help you with this. The teacher will be required to give a strict account for his faithfulness too. For his faithfulness, you know. You know, you wouldn't want to come in here someone that's not faithful, would you? I know sometimes sickness, I know sometimes things call the person not to be here. Last year I was laid out for almost 12 weeks. That's not being faithful, is it? But yet I know the Lord wants us to be faithful when we can. You see, to be faithful as far as the teacher's concerned, you see. And it's very, very important. Teaching is a gift. It's understanding. It's also communicating the Word of God. It's edifying the believers in the Word of God, you see. Teaching also is interpreting and it's arranging the Word of God. So people can understand. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of work goes involved weeks ago to teach a lesson today. Preacher says many times, you don't know the hours he spends to teach and to preach. Now, anybody that teaches a class, it takes time. It takes a lot of work, a lot of preparation to be able to come and spend 30 minutes with you and present what they've been studying for a week. That's a difficult task. It's a difficult task, but it's a wonderful task because we have something to present to you that we call the truth, the Bible, God's Word. And this truth will help you. It'll help me. It will take heed to it, you see, and try to understand what it's for. So we see here that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is providing for the church these specific individuals, apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the preachers, and the teachers to enhance the church now to be what it ought to be and to grow. Jesus Christ says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Therefore, He's provided these specific people with extraordinary gifts that the church may be what it ought to be. The church may bring honor to Him. That it'll be one vessel, one body of believers that Jesus Christ can pour himself upon and in and fill us, that we might be to the capacity that he wants us to be here in this world. I thank God for the church. Thank God for the founding of the church. Thank God for the growing of the church and where the church is even today. Listen, as Tyler said, the world, when we look at the news, we know the world is going down fast, isn't it? But we also know as the world goes down fast, soon the church is going up. Soon the church is going up. Therefore, we have something to look forward to that the world does not. But on the other hand, we need to be telling the world about Jesus Christ that they may also go. Well, we're going to go one day. That's our task. And listen, we're going to be talking about gifts maybe next Sunday. Every one of us in here, you have a gift that God's given you. And the question is this, are you using that gift? Are you using that gift that God has given you? Don't shun the gift. Find out what it is. If you don't know what it is, we're going to try to help you show you from the scripture how to find out what it is. Okay? So you can not only find out what it is, but you can use it. You can find out what it's for. Okay? And we're going to try to talk about that in the next few weeks. But next Sunday, we're going to talk about the purpose of these gifts, first of all. Every gift has a purpose. It has a purpose, you see. And we're going to talk about that next week. Then we're going to get into the gifts of the believers and try to help us to see and understand what I'm to do in this life. Listen, folks. The most wonderful thing that can happen to anybody in this world is to be saved. But God wants us not just to be saved. Okay? He wants to use us in his place to the fullest capacity that we can be used. And the only way that can happen is we got to know the gift that God's given me. And then I got to get that gift going. I got to get it going in my life and use it for him and use it for him. Sad it is just to be saved and on my way to heaven and know that all my life for 20, 30 years been saved and never used the gift that God has given me. That's sad, folks. It's sad. So I want us to understand. I want you to understand what the gift is that God has given you. And then God, when God reveals it to you, then you can develop how to use it, how to use that gift, you see. So that's what makes a church. One person can't operate a church, folks. It takes everyone is here, really. And the gift, using the gifts that we all have, we can function as a church and do what God wants us to do and reach the lost. That's why we're all together. That's why God brings us together from all walks of life. He brings us all together here that he might use us to bring honor and glory to him. I thank God for this passage of scripture here. Paul was trying to encourage us as believers in what we ought to be and how God has provided for us to be what we ought to be. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this day. I thank you for the word of God. Lord, you've given us to share, Lord, and to encourage one another. We're thankful, Lord, for the beginning of the church and how you provided for them. Lord, the individuals with the abilities, Lord, to get the church going and started. And Lord, how wonderful it was started, how many thousands of people were saved. And Lord, people were working together and sharing together, and they were also happy in the Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, now you would help us in this day in which we live, Lord, as individuals, Lord, to use that gift that you've given us, Lord, to bring honor and glory to you. Thank you for these that are here today. I pray, Lord, now as we go to the next service, that you will lead in God and all this done. Please be with our pastor. Lord, give him power, give him the ability, the wisdom he needs to speak to us the word that you have shared with him in the last weeks. Lord, now, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray they might get saved today. Lord, I pray you might be honored and glorified in all that's done. Bless the choir. Bless everything that's done in the next hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.